watching me.
Now, back to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
It's kind of like our Halloween edition today, as we've been getting talking about candy, spooky stuff, and a couple of things that have been going on in sports. But we're waiting on Seth Lawless to join us. He's a photographer. He's also been visiting some quote-unquote haunted houses for a book called 13 Hauntingly Beautiful. His work is outstanding, and it has this feel, this abandoned feel that's got a little bit of a spookiness to it, but it also has this beautiful nature to it. Seth Lawless joins us here on SB Nation Radio. How are you, my friend?
Hey, how are you?
Good. All right, so you tell me what you're doing in your book, 13 Hauntingly Beautiful. You went to actual homes or what people think are haunted houses, or would best describe them as a kind of haunted, abandoned houses. What did you see? What did you notice? And what makes them so appealing for a photographer?
I did. I spent much of my a large body of my work stems around abandoned, a lot of abandoned different themes. A lot of the abandoned haunted houses across my social media platforms started to gain a lot of traction, so I started to document them a little bit more over the years. For my book, I put some of my favorite 13 of my favorite abandoned mansions that people wrote me about. Some have a history attached, more of a haunted, history attached. Others more folklore-y. That would reach out to me, and therefore I started documenting them a little bit more closer, going inside, and people, were really fascinated seeing not just the outside of these beautiful abandoned mansions that are, some of them are over 100 years old, so that they're very aesthetically beautiful. So from a photographer standpoint, they're just a real joy to shoot, especially from the inside, seeing things that most people don't get to see.
We look at these homes sometimes, and we get these sort of feelings of a haunted house, and it's run down and cobwebs, but there is also a little spookiness in just the abandoned nature, even if it's a little bit more pristine. When you shoot these kind of houses, what is it, case by case in terms of what shots work, or do you find that there's a consistent theme in shooting these kind of houses as to what it looks like?
Well, it really all depends on what you're going at. Sometimes I've been into a house where visually from the exterior you go, wow, boy, this looks amazing. And then you get inside and there's really nothing inside. And then other times they will be filled with personal belongings of whoever lived there prior. In several instances, there's, books and picture frames of who lived there, bedding, old records, notes you'll find. Really personal, intimate items, which is kind of, I take that as kind of being a real kind of a spooky kind of feeling to be in such a place like that, that looks like literally someone just died and it was just literally left to decay inside. In a couple instances, there's been more provocative and strange things in it. I remember one time walking in, and there was a Pentagon on the floor. Candles, there was dead animals throughout. One case I found blood, a large pool of blood, called the police. That was one of the instances where I actually got police involved to investigate. Another one was I walked into this house in Detroit, this abandoned house in Detroit. One of the floors was made into what appeared to be a sex kind of dungeon, and I called the police in that instance as well. Which was really bizarre. You had things written on walls, and you had, like, it looks like these devices and chairs and things where it looks as though people were once tied to, which was very bizarre. And it's not truly uncommon. I mean, a lot of the places that I shoot, not just abandoned homes, but where I live in Cleveland, Ohio, in East Cleveland, we had two serial killers, Anthony Solwell and Michael Madison, that operated independently of one another, and they killed a lot of women, raped and tortured them, and they used abandoned properties like homes. And I was in even some of those homes after the fact, or right before some of those serial killers did what they did. For me, there's just an outright eerie vibe when I go into these places, because there has been real life trauma surrounding some of the places I've been in.
When you call the police, I just want to know from a technical standpoint, when you do end up calling the police in these houses, do they come in and go, Seth, game over, no more photographs, or do you still shoot?
No, I mean, they don't really care for me. I mean, there's times where I'm just arrested outright. I've had some viral projects of malls. I remember in 2016, I went live at Facebook inside of an abandoned mall in just outside of Chicago. Less than 72 hours later, the police detectives call me, say, hey, we got a warrant for your arrest. So they don't want me trespassing and going into these places. That's number one. But if I'm calling them reporting something, I'm either waiting outside or something, and I'll wait. In that particular case where there was a large pool of blood, and I'm up in Detroit, this was in Detroit in 2014, late 2013-14. That was a lot different than Detroit today. You can get a pizza quicker than you could get a police officer to come after even reporting something like that. So I remember waiting a good hour and a half, and then finally someone came, and they went in. After that, that's all up into them. They do their stuff, and that's about it. I just kind of wait. If it's something serious like that, or I feel like there's something that needs to be addressed, then that's when I contact authorities. Most times, that's extremely rare, though.
Have you ever had that feeling of, I don't belong here, I need to get moving, I need to get out? I mean, does that ever take over your emotions when you're shooting in these particular locations?
Oh, all the time. I mean, I remember one, it was really dark, and I remember shooting, and in the shots, obviously it was just really dark where I was at, and I remember going home and lightening the images as I'm, post-editing. I'm safe at home, this is hours later, sometimes days later. And I'm lightening the image, and I see a shadowy figure in the back. I'm a paranormal skeptic, right? So that's more than likely someone in there watching me. I'm guessing that's a derelict. I come across, derelicts living in some of these structures that have been over the years. Sometimes criminals have been attacked here and there. There's wild dogs, all sorts of things. But this was a figure. So I'm in this dark place. Someone watching me, and I didn't even know. To me, that's probably more frightening than coming up on a ghost.
When I was looking at your pictures, and as I was preparing for this interview, I start looking at these abandoned places, whether they're outdoors or indoors or whatever, and I got to be honest with you, I never thought about the natural beauty of it, right? When you see something that's kind of been taken over by nature, I don't think about it being beautiful. And then you captured it in a way. What is it? What am I missing? Like, what is it about those kind of things where you see a roller coaster and covered with weeds? Is it a sense that it used to be important and it's not anymore? Or is it something about the way that nature and a man invention intertwine that make it sort of unique?
Well, I think you hit it with the latter there. I mean, that's a common theme in my photographs. You see nature kind of reabsorbing what is theirs in a way, right? That philosophical view, and that's shared by a lot of people. And not only that, but it goes even once further. I mean, if you look at some of my other projects, like abandoned malls, where they leave live plants in the malls, people would write me overwhelmingly, 1,000 emails a day after some of these viral projects, where people say, I can't believe they left living plants that just died, Yeah. So there's this respect for nature as well, but people like to see nature reclaim its natural order in a way. And there's just, that can be beautiful in a way because you're seeing that beautiful nature just kind of reclaiming this ugly, rusted, metal objects in times. If you look at abandoned amusement park projects, my abandoned amusement park book covers 13 abandoned amusement parks all over the world. And so you're going to have, weeds and flowers. I remember the abandoned Disney World was really interesting because you just had flowers. So it was beautiful. Like, you could barely see the water slides and the rides just covered in these beautiful flowers and weeds. So I think you get a little bit of both there. It's aesthetically beautiful to look at, but then there's also this kind of this history of what was used to be and what it is now.
And I think also, too, because I remember it was about 10 years ago, the History Channel did that series, Life After People. And you'd watch it and you'd say, my God, like, if you abandon this building, look what happens in 60 days, or look what happens in 6 months, look what happens in a year when nature gets in. And then you got these pictures and it sort of reminded me of that. But it also, when you're shooting this, do you ever sit back in awe of what, boy, nature, we just take it for granted because it's around us. But when it wants what it wants, it'll just take it.
Oh, yeah. No, absolutely. I think one particular case that really put that in perspective is when I filmed this abandoned mall that was covered in snow. So it was like a real-life wonderland, you know? Winter wonderland. It was crazy. You go inside, and it was just covered in like a foot of snow. So the escalators, I'm walking down the escalators, it's snowing. I look up, and it's starting to snow on me. And it was fascinating to take photos and video of that. And it's amazing how quick a place can decay. I don't care what it is, a banning factory, a school, a stadium, whatever it might be, when water's induced, decay happens rapidly. And I've seen some places look, and I've shot some of these places. I've gone back over the years. I've shot places in different seasons just to see it kind of mature and grow and change. They can decline rapidly, yeah. Just a little bit of water. Once that water gets in the roof or inside, it really induces quickly.
All right, Seth, when you're going to be live streaming an event or live streaming for one of the houses you're going to be shooting at, what, today or tomorrow?
I am, yeah, tonight. Halloween. Yeah. It's Halloween, and it's a nice day where I'm at least in the eastern part, and I'm going to be traveling and going to some of the beautiful, hauntingly beautiful mansions, I'd say. These are places that I'm a paranormal skeptic, but unlike paranormal shows where they go in and it's like, you know, secure some kind of spot, and they go in with a crew. This is just me. I go in with a tripod. It's just me. I'm live. A lot of the times I've done live things, things happen. I'm going to be by myself. It's going to be an adventure, I'm sure. And I'm going to try to hit some spots that are going to be entertaining for people that follow me on my Instagram. And, hopefully it will turn out. It's always a lot of fun to do that.
You're a braver man than I, my friend. Wow, good luck with that. And thank you for joining us. And great photography stuff. And I urge people to go to your website, SephLawless.com, to check out your beautiful,
please
beautiful
do,
work.
Yeah. And tonight, yeah, if you're bored, go to Seph Lawless, S-E-P-H Lawless, at Instagram. Follow me along. Let's take this journey together. Thanks for having me.
You got it, my friend. Thank you so much. That is great. I would never, ever in a thousand years do that. Like, if I'm going to do a radio bit like staying a night at a haunted house, Ron, you're coming with me. We're bringing an engineer, probably a promotions gal, maybe three salespeople, and upper management. Okay, then we're all going in together. I ain't
and
going alone.
You forgot the gigantic spotlight, the stadium lights.
Yeah, the stadium lights, and maybe a band. If I could bring a band that would make noise, that would be great too.
Yeah, we're lighting up that house like it's yeah, like it's Wrigley Field the first time it put through lights on.
He's going in alone. He's going in alone
with nothing but a tripod. Forget it. I'm out.
Like, even in my house, I get, like, if I'm up at night, even in my house, like, we used to live in this house that had a really creepy basement. We used to call it the creepy basement. And we'd have, like, some extra drinks down there, and I'd be, like, 2 o'clock in the morning and be like, man, I'm thirsty. And I ain't going down there. It's time of night.
I know.
I ain't going in a haunted house. Are you kidding me?
I sit there and I tell my boys all the time, there's nothing to be afraid of, nothing to be afraid of. And I'm still like a little bit like, there would be times where there's too dark and I've heard like a noise.
Yeah.
And I just don't know what that noise is. I'm like, all right, I'm a little creeped out, but this is my bedroom. Why am I creeped out?
I know. It's crazy. Yeah. It's just
not
nuts.
A chance. I don't even know if I'd go into the houses that he's gone into the shoot. I don't know if I'd go in them in the daytime.
The creepiest thing that happens in my house, and it happens a lot, is we have a dog. We have a beagle, and she's a little protective beagle. She doesn't bite or anything. But man, if people come to, like, somebody drops a package off at the door or whatever, then she'll go crazy and she'll bark and she'll. There've been times where she'll bark staring into the house at nothing, like nothing. There's nobody around, and she's barking like crazy, and that freaks me out.
Yeah, that's why I'm not a fan of cats.
Because
cats do that all the time.
All the time.
They're just staring off, and all of a sudden, they'll just, like, freak out and dart across the room. You're like, okay, what just touched you?
Middle of the night, she'll bark, and I'll be like, uh-oh, okay. And then she'll go down to the window, and she'll bark, and I'll go, uh-oh. And I look outside. There was one moment, I swear, there was one moment where she was looking outside and barking and barking and barking, and I had the switch. I had my hand on the switch for the outdoor porch light. And I almost didn't turn it on. I was afraid I was going to turn it on and some figure was going to be at the window. I didn't know what was out there. She was barking like crazy. And I said, nah. All right. And I flipped the switch and nothing was, not a soul was down the street. Nobody was anywhere, nowhere. And she was barking like nuts. That stuff freaks me out. That stuff is good luck, Seth, in your pursuit of staying in a haunted house tonight. Check that out. That's good. That was good stuff. That was a fun interview. It's a fun interview. And his pictures are really beautiful. really kind of spooky, the abandonedness of it. But man, when weeds and nature want to take over something, man, it's really amazing what it can do. All right, SB Nation AM, it's Tony D and Ron Culver at SB Nation Radio.